Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and children of all ages, we are now live here in the Investor Show. As always, this is your gracious host, the Prince of Investing, Prince Dice, coming to you guys and girls live all the way from the beautiful city and state of Denver, Colorado. Don't forget to hit that like, subscribe, comment, share button. Hit the bell icon to get notifications as they drop if you're catching this live on YouTube. And as always, I don't have a lot of time, and I definitely know you guys and girls don't have a lot of time, so we're going to jump straight into it. So the people that's catching this live or catching the video playback of this, yes, I'm a little bit on one today. I got a little suit jacket on today. You know, I put my little square on, and I decided, let me put a jacket on a little bit. So, you know, first and foremost, what we're going to do, we're going to go straight into the roll call. The roll call, we know it's customary. Within the first 3 minutes, if you're catching this live, tell us where you're from, you know, or where you're checking this in from, where you're catching this at live. Even if you catch a playback, drop in the comments and let me know where you guys and girls are from as well. So thank y'all for coming in. We got a very interesting show that's going to come on today. We're going to talk about some oil. We're going to talk about the real estate market. We're not going to talk about it. We're going to give you guys factual data and teaching you how to fish, as we always do on the Investor Show. So we're going to look at some data from the oil industry, that's oil and energy. We're going to look at two ways to profit from a falling real estate market. And why do I think the real estate market is set for a drawback here? And then all the other good stuff. So as you're coming in live, if you're catching this live, we're going to do a roll call. Drop your comments and tell me where you're from, and I will acknowledge everybody where we're from when we get at that three-minute live mark. But we're going to talk about ways to profit from it. We're going to look at the latest reports from the Mortgage and Bankers Association. We're also going to look at OPEC, right? The Organization for Petroleum Export Countries, if I'm not mistaken. OPEC, right? We're going to talk about what OPEC is, what do they mean, what does that mean for the oil and energy sector, the real estate industry, what the Mortgage and Bankers Association put out today. Also, a little bit of what J.P. Morgan said as well. But J.P. Morgan, they're the largest lenders. What their information doing is piggybacking off of NBA's information as well. So we're going to teach you guys and girls how to fish. Come on in, catch us live, all right? That's what today's show is going to be about, if you're catching today's show. So if you're catching today's show, it's going to be some great information, even if you're catching the playback. And I'm going to keep the subtitles up here to kind of walk you guys and girls through to give you a better presentation of knowing what the topics are, so we don't seem like we're all over the place. You're going to know exactly what I'm saying and why I'm saying it and what we're going to be looking up, all that good stuff. All right. Y'all give me 1 second here. And y'all can share this out as well. Share this out as well. Thank you guys for coming in. So let's go ahead and get to the roll call. First one we got is Joyce. How you doing, Joyce, from Tampa? Nice to see you. We got Kevin here coming from D.C. He says, nice jacket. You know, I kind of put on a little jacket today to kind of dress it up a little bit, you know. Thank you. We got Ruby here from Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for tuning in there, Miss Ruby. We got Miss Kemptoria Cole Williams, NYC. She's back in the building. How you doing today, Miss Williams? We got Abe from Jacksonville, Florida. Okay. Kemptoria Cole said, love the color change from yellow to blue. Oh, thanks. Nice. Change up the color a little bit. All right. Hold on. I don't want to miss nobody. We got GR. He says, greeting from beautiful Los Angeles, California, where the home prices are nuts. Of course, California, the Bay Area. Y'all can have it, man. Y'all crazy out there. James Bond said, I watched The Big Short last night, and I went to sleep with a knot in my stomach. The Big Short, guys and girls. You know what, James Bond? I read the book. It's a crazy story about The Big Short, the movie. I'll give you guys a little backdrop. The Big Short, I read the book called The Greatest Trade Ever years ago. Probably about 4 years ago. I read The Greatest Trade Ever. This was way before The Big Short came out, way before the movie came out. And pretty much the movie was pretty much based off of The Big Short. And the guy in the movie that was portrayed, like the head guy who saw the market falling, is a guy by the name of John Paulson. I actually reached out to his firm in New York City, and I asked him to come on to the show. This was before The Big Short even came out. And his people spoke to me, and they said that it didn't make sense for him to come on to the show because it wouldn't be beneficial to my viewership because he's an institutional investor, meaning that he doesn't go and get Susan and Larry's money and invest it. He goes and get corporations' monies like banks and Nike, Fortune 500 companies and stuff like that. But he's alive and well, has a small firm still in New York City, catches the subway to work every day. John Paul's him. Funny story behind that. Okay, we got Darrell J checking in. Okay. Thank you for checking us in, Darrell. JR said he got a 700 FICO score and 20% down. That's from JP Morgan today. Who put that out? We're gonna talk about that. Gary from Indianapolis in the building. Okay, Indianapolis, Maryland in the building. Thank you. Tuning in. We got Jameson Brooks. What's up from Cynthia, Kentucky? Okay, we're just going to say Kentucky. Like I said, Cynthia. Hopefully I said that right. But all right, now we got the roll call out the way, ladies and gentlemen. Let's jump into the first part of the show today. The first part of the show today we're going to talk about, we're going to go straight to oil and energy. Oil and energy. Hopefully I didn't spell it. Yeah, okay. We're going to go straight to oil and energy, guys. Who knows what OPEC is? I said it a little bit earlier, but we're on live. So who knows what OPEC is and why they're so important to what we have going on? So today we're going to look up OPEC, and we're going to see what the guidance they put out. You know, you've seen a big oil made a nice little move today, but the industry, it did make a little move, but it kind of died off towards the end of the day. So we're going to look at that big time today, oil and energy. We talked about something called GUSH, G-U-S-H. That's a leveraged bullish ETF on oil. Yes, leveraged bullish. I make sure I said it the right way. So meaning that as the oil and energy sector grows, this sector is going to grow very well. So the first thing we're going to do, we're going to go straight to the OPEC website, and we're going to look at what did they publish yesterday, I think it was, over the weekend. What happened with OPEC? Why was it so major for oil and energy today? All right? So let's look at that first. I'm going to share my screen here. You know, I was already prepared for you guys and girls. And we're going to look at what OPEC said today. And I see guys and girls comments, you know, pretty much, yes, they run oil. So first, let's look at. All right, so what I have on my screen here, these are the OPEC, right? They, you know, there are a bunch of companies that get together. They're oil, they're petroleum companies that export petroleum, right? So these are all the countries that are inside of OPEC. You know, you got Ecuador, Iran, Iraq, Kuwait. So it's a bunch of companies that get together, and they pretty much control the price of oil. They control how much oil is created. You know, everything price, what's the price of oil is dictated by supply and demand. So the more that they pump out of the ground, back in the 60s when they created this, somebody got smart in Iraq. I think it was founded in Baghdad, actually. Somebody got smart and said, hey, if we quit producing that much oil, then we could control the price. And if we can control the price, it could be more profitable, and it could stabilize the economy. Because one day you have Iran do this, and you have another Ecuador would do this, and Iraq would do this, Kuwait would do this, all these different companies. Countries would just be on their own program, and it will run the oil prices like crazy. So they got together and created something called OPEC. And when they decided, hey, look, guys and girls, this is what we're going to do with oil. Let's cut back the supply. Don't do this or don't do that or whatnot. And I'm going to tell you why I'm not a big fan of it, but we're going to take a look at it. These are the countries that are involved, right? And this is coming directly from their website. OPEC stands for Organization of Petroleum and Exporting Countries. This is directly from their website. These are countries that are part of it. United States is not part of the OPEC. So now let's get into what did they put out today that was so significant. Y'all give me 1 second as I pull that up. So I want to show you guys and girls who was in it. Now we're going to talk about, what you call it, oil and energy. All right. So pretty much this is their press release. It's coming right off of their website. And pretty much it's just saying that this is the APOO. You can read it right here in this paragraph. The APPO is the African Petroleum Producers Organization. They said, we're committed to participate in the two meetings of the committee that demonstrated to the funding and solution of problems that we were having serious repercussions on the global economy, that we're having serious repercussions on the global economy, both now and in the medium and long future. medium and long future, how they said it. So pretty much this is what they're saying they're going to do. The decision of the OPEC to adjust crude oil production by 10 million barrels per day, effective May 1st, 2020 to June 2020, and therefore 8 million barrels per day to the end of the year 2020, and then going down to 6 barrels per day till the end of April of 2022, is a significant step in halting the speed at the global economy oil was headed into a total collapse. So pretty much they're just saying that, hey, they came out in a meeting and said, hey, guys, let's cut the production of oil. And this is pretty much the other countries coming in and saying, hey, we agree with it. We're on board. We're going to stabilize the oil market by producing less and less oil. They're cutting it down to 10 million barrels. And then they're going to go from 10 million barrels to 8 million barrels. Then they're going to go to 6 million barrels, right? So they're going to cut down a supply of oil, which in return, if demand stays the same, which it probably will, oil prices will go up. And this is a way to stabilize the oil economy, right? Now, the bad, because when they pump so much oil, the value of oil just goes down. So really, you had a barrel of oil was like $20, you know, which is like a bucket of fried chicken. I saw a meme on that, but it was the truth. But what they're doing now is these countries got together. And they said they're going to cut back on oil, which will stabilize and help the oil company go into the oil industry go into the future. Now, this is my take on that. This is why I'm not big and crazy into oil and OPEC and all that good stuff right there and whatnot. But this is the problem I had with it. The problem I had with it is one day they are happy. All it takes is for one of those countries I just showed you guys and girls earlier that's some part of the OPEC. Like Iran get pissed off at Iraq. Somebody launch a missile at Iraq. And then Iran say, you know what, man? Screw that. I'm pumping 50 million, you know, so it's a way they use it as a retaliation tool. That's what I don't like about it. One country gets mad at another country, and guess what they do? One country go pump a bunch of oil. They're like, oh, okay, Iran, you want to play that way? I'm going to go pump a bunch of oil to crash the oil prices, and that's going to hurt your economy. Much like people, like the conspiracies are saying, hey, China was mad at America, so they spread the coronavirus, right? That's what I kind of see people use in the OPEC world. Right now, they're all kumbaya. They're all happy. Yeah. We're not going to pump oil. But then again, they'll change their mind and go to a whole nother situation. So that's why I'm not crazy on it, but that's what's going on with oil and energy. Hold on one second. Woo. Sorry about that. But that's why I don't get too crazy about it. So that's oil and energy for today. And if you want to take a risk into that, or if you want to invest into that industry, you're going to look at the XLE. XLE is the entire sector. If you want a leverage section, is GUSH, G-U-S-H. All right, so before we get into the next topic, she said they run the oil. Yes. She said they regulate the oil prices. Maybe wrong. Yes, they get together in a way to regulate oil prices. They control the supply. So when they get together, they try to control the supply to affect oil prices. You know, it would be like if, I don't know who the potato chip makers are, but I know it's Lay's potato chips. You know, okay, let's say Pepsi and Coca-Cola. And Pepsi and Coca-Cola, except if you had soda product companies that was just jacking up their prices, throwing their prices here, there, all over the place. When people start to throw, I'm trying to undercut you. You sell your soda for $5. I sell mine for $2. So you sell yours for $1. And, you know, you just erode the industry because y'all can't get together. So this is when people get together and say, hey, man, listen, this is where we need to be at, so we can all make some money, so everything won't go haywire, so the energy sector won't go crazy. Because in 2008, oil was over $100. Oil per barrel was over $100. Now, the last time I looked at it, it was like $20-$30. So that's why I look at it. Oh, you're right. So GR said controlling the industry, manipulating prices, pretty much. That's why I'm not too crazy about it, even though it's profitable, all that good stuff, but that's the way I look at it. JB said, I got clapped today. SPY was playing games. Yeah, SPY went down. SPY, that's the S&P 500, went down 300, about 300 points, I think it ended up at the end of the day. Don't bet on puts gambling. All right, anyway, now let's get into the next topic. We just went from oil to what you call it, right? So now we're going to get into our next topic. I thought I made a tab for it, but give me one second. All right. What everybody tuned in for, we need to find out what is the state of real estate. Real estate, real estate, real estate. What's going on in the real estate world today? So today, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at a couple of reports that came out today, what JP Morgan said today, and we're going to look at the NBA. I think GR mentioned it earlier, what JP Morgan said today, and what does that mean? So for no further, ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the NBA.org. Let's go to the Mortgage and Brokers Association and see what they had to say about tightening of credit. And what does the tightening of credit means, right? Here we go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and children of all ages. You can see this came out on April 9th, which was Tuesday. Not Tuesday, but Thursday, I meant to say. It was either Thursday or Friday. This came out. Let me verify. This report came out on Thursday from the NBA, the Mortgage and Bankers Association. The mortgage credit availability decreased in March. Why do you think credit availability is so important, right? Let's see what they had to say on Thursday when they put out this report. So on Thursday, this is what they said. From Washington, D.C., the mortgage credit availability decreased in March. According to the Mortgage Credit Availability Index, the MCAI, a report from the Mortgage and Bankers Association that analyzes data from Ellie Mae Business Information Tools, right? So pretty much the MCAI fell by 16% to 1.52 in March, a decline that indicates lending standards are tightening while increasing the index credit. See this? This came out on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, from the NBA. It tells you the MCAI, the index that tracks credit, it failed in March. A decline in this index means that lending standards are tightening, while increase in indexes indicate a loosening of credit. So it says as this index goes up, that means that money is easier to borrow. As this index goes down, that means money is tightened, it's harder to borrow, right? So right here, they're going to give you their words, what they're going to say. And we're going to tell you why. Why do you think money is tightening? Why do you think money is becoming harder to borrow? So here we go. The mortgage credit supply decreased by 16% to March, the lowest level since June of 2015. With this decline in availability across all loan types, there was a reduction in the availability of loans with lower credit scores and higher LTV ratios, and the largest pullback came from the jumbo and non-QM space, said Joel Kahn, NBA Association Vice President of Economical and Industrial Forecasting. Right, here we go. This month release highlights that a large retreat from jumbo and non-QM investors due to a sharp drop in liquidity, right? Lenders, here we go. Here's the butter. You already got the bread. Here's the butter right here. Lenders are making credit criteria changes to account for increase in the likelihood of forbearances and defaults, as well as higher costs. So they're saying lenders are making credit credentials, meaning they're making it harder to borrow money because of the likelihood of forbearances and defaults. A forbearance meaning that, hey, if we give this person a loan, that means that this person, if you give me a loan, I can't pay my mortgage. I'm deferring it. You know, I'm asking, hey, can I not pay my mortgage this month? Can I save my money or whatnot? That's forbearance. Default meaning this person just can't pay it, going into foreclosure. So lenders are making it harder to get money because they have fear of people not being able to pay them back. That's pretty much it. That's pretty much what this report said on Thursday. Prince, why is that important? That's great. Now I'm going to go out and tell you guys and girls what they reported today from JP Morgan, right? Here we go. Now today, when you see later information, you know, I told you guys about this site, right? I told you guys about the NBA organization, and we're going to tell you exactly what they put out today. Oh, look at this. Come out today. Not today, but on what that was, Saturday? 2 days later, I think that was Saturday, right? JP Morgan Chase to raise mortgage borrowing standards. So now JP Morgan said, oh, yeah, we're going to raise mortgage standards. But if you read this already, the sites that I was telling you about, you guys have already ahead of this, meaning that this is coming from Bloomberg. Bloomberg put it out 2 days later, but you can see the NBA had already put out the index and told you that this was happening already, right? Teaching you guys and girls how to fish. So what I mean by fish is you're getting the information in Bloomberg. Let me show you guys and girls so y'all won't think that Prince just making up stuff. I don't think I even pulled that up. But essentially, guys and girls, what they're saying is that JP Morgan came out and said, yes, we're going to limit, you know, we're going to tighten up the credit. You got to have a 700 credit score. You got to put 20% down because they have fear of people being not being able to pay back their loans. Loans are a great investment as long as people are paying them back. The moment people stop paying them back, that's when you start to have problems. JB said, real estate might get shanky. Yes, definitely. I mean, think about it. It's just simple economics. You know, if people don't have jobs and unemployment is going up and you're furloughing people, you're cutting people pay, you know, who's going to be buying houses? How are you going to be able to pay your rent? How are you going to be able to pay your mortgage? So I think that's an automatic cool off in the market, right? JR, he said, the largest lender expect greater volatility on loan defaults, therefore stricter guidelines for loans. Right. And you got to think about it. If you'd have been reading what I had already told you guys and girls, this came out on Thursday. I don't think I did a show on Thursday, but this came out on Thursday by the NBA, the Mortgage and Brokers Association. Right. What I just showed you guys and girls now, because think about it. We don't want to be reactive. We want to be proactive. We don't want to react to the market. Oh, real estate is going down. What am I going to do? We have to anticipate what's next. That's what makes the greatest investors in the world. They know, hey, they're anticipating where you're going to go. They're not anticipating. They're not looking at where you're at. They're looking at where you're headed, right? Kendra says, too late to tighten after 10 years. Could be. James Bond said, how does this affect CDOs? Can you discuss CDCs? CDOs are collateralized debt obligations, right? I'm thinking that's the ones you're talking about, James Bond, CDOs and CDCs. Verify me. I don't want to talk about everything already. Make sure I'm talking about the right thing. Hello, is Damie says, crisis isn't over. Unemployed people don't go on vacation, buy homes, support businesses, buy their products. The only reason the stock market hasn't tanked yet is the Fed. Buy gold or silver. Hey, that's not a bad thing there. She's saying that, you know, the Federal Reserve, the stimulus packages, they're buying up bonds, a.k.a. they're pumping money into the stock market to boost up equity so equities don't fall through. And yes, people are expecting losses in April. One earnings report I was looking for was Delta. Where is Delta's Q1 earnings report or Q2? Their earnings report from January to March, that's Q2. Where's their Q2 earnings report? It was supposed to come out on Thursday. I was looking for that. That's why I didn't do a show on Thursday, because I was looking for Delta's. Right? So I don't know. I was looking for the earnings report. I couldn't find it. It's like they're hiding it or something. You know, everybody's looking for it, but people not, you know, nobody can find it right now. But let's go a little bit deeper. I don't want to run off in a tangent, but we got a little bit more to do on real estate, right? We're going to see what came out today. What came out today on real estate as well? Here we go. I'm going to share my screen here. We're going to go back to what did the NBA, the Mortgage and Brokers Association, put out today. All righty. Y'all ready for it? Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. This came out on April 13th, which is today. The MBA surveys. Share of mortgage loans forbearances continue to climb, right? This is what's coming from them. I'm just going to tell you what they're verbatim, what they're saying. Here we go. The nationwide shutdown of the economy to slow down the spread of the COVID-19 continues to create hardship for millions of households. They're saying that the reason why we shut down the economy because of the COVID-19 spread is continuing to make hardship for millions of households, and more are contacting their services for relief in accordance with the forbearances provision of the CARES Act, right? So they're saying that people don't have jobs. They're, you know, due to the CARES Act that President Trump made, more people are calling them, right? So what they're saying is the share of loans in forbearance, here we go, forbearance. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, y'all, sorry about that. right here. The share of loans and forbearance grew the first week of April, and the forbearance request caused them further increase, right? So pretty much just saying that more people are pretty much using forbearances. More people are calling in. They're asking them to put off their loans. More people don't want to pay their mortgages. More people are passing it off, right? So here we go. Effort seamlessly in the past. Okay. Job losses will continue, and the number of borrowers asking forbearances will likely continue at a rapid rate. Here we go. As job losses will continue, the number of borrowers asking for forbearances will likely continue to rise at a rapid rate. So it's pretty much saying what we already know. This is what they put out today. So they're telling you more people are asking for forbearances, more people are starting to, you know, pass off their loans, and as jobs continue to increase, we're going to see more people ask for it. This Thursday, we're going to get another jobs claim. We get a jobless claims every week, right? We get new unemployment numbers become the first week of May, I think, right? So anyway, that's what they put out today. That's more guidance of, hey, that's the mortgage industry telling you there are more and more people contacting them to put off the ability to pay for their loans. Okay, let's see what we got here. James Bond said, yes, I think you're talking about the CD. Collateralized debt obligations and CDCs. I look at those and I say, those are more for high-end finances, right? That's what James Paulson did. James Paulson pretty much in probably like 2006, 2007, he created collateralized debt obligations. He wanted to bet against the real estate market, but there wasn't a way to bet against the real estate market. So he went to Goldman Sachs, and he went to Goldman Sachs on Wall Street, and he said, hey, what is the way I can bet against real estate? There wasn't an ETF. There wasn't a way to bet against real estate. So essentially what they did was Goldman Sachs created CDOs, collateralized debt obligations, in a way for somebody to be able to buy, bet against real estate, right? So they pretty much created an instrument with, you know, institutional investors, with banks and whatever the case may be, for somebody to be able to bet against the real estate market. And it ended up working out very good for James Paulson. But the bad part is it ended up in a lot of people's portfolios, 401ks, all the other great stuff, right? GR said, would be a greater opportunity to invest in home. Home prices can potentially go down. Only one can hope, right? We're going to talk about that too. So how would this affect housing prices? You know, the demand for housing will go down. Like, think about it. Last year, I bought about three pieces of land. I bought about three pieces of land. It wasn't worth anything. I wanted to think that I got $1 trillion, right? Bought a couple pieces of land, right? And now I go back to that company. I may email them about a week or so. I may reach out to them and say, hey, I want some more land, but I might get land at a discounted rate now. Hey, I know what you're asking for, but hey, if you want to negotiate, you can make some sales, right? Because, you know, not that many people have money. Not that many people have cash. You know, people are strapped, right? Let's say if you was a barber, right? A barber, and you were making, I don't know, $100 a week, $400 a week, $1,000 a week, a day, or whatever your profit was. Now barbershops are closed. Now, hey, I can't cut people's hair. Now I probably was going to buy some land. I was about to buy a house, you know. And then also for people who are trying to go out and borrow money to invest, banks are making it very hard to borrow money. The reason why they're making it very hard to borrow money, because the fear of people going into default, right? So that could stall out housing prices and hopefully drop them. They're already dropping too, JR, certain places. But we don't get that report to see the housing prices index doesn't come out until like May. We won't start to seeing the effects of the coronavirus and housing prices data-wise until like May. And I forgot what organization was putting it out. Woo! Ghost Hunter said, I'm thinking everyone needs to dump real estate. Is there any real estate that might be safe? When you say dump real estate, in what regard? You mean if you own a REIT or if you own a property? Because if you own a house and you got renters, who cares? As long as the renter is paying and it's covering your mortgage, be thankful, right? So that's one thing. JR, he said that Delta's in trouble as a sell-off. Delta, I've been looking for their quarterly report. It was supposed to come out on April 9th. It didn't come out on Thursday. It didn't come out on Friday. It's not out today. Like, they're trying to hide something. Everybody's expecting them. Everybody knows it's going to be a big loss. But people are looking at the guidance, and they're looking at the type of loan they can get from the government or the type of stimulus or reliefs, right? Yeah, CDOs, collateralized debt obligations. I know. Yep. We just kind of spoke about that one. So now with real estate, now that we know that this is real estate is in trouble, right? We see unemployment going up. We see people losing money left and right. Now the question is, how can I profit off of a potential downturn in real estate? That's why you guys and girls tuned in today, right? So how can I profit? What moves can I make to profit off of real estate? That's what we're going to get into next. We're going to take a couple more comments, and we're going to get into that. Harlem Financial said, if you have cash, now is the time that you can come up big time. Yes, if you have cash, it's the time for you to start. If you're someone who never invested, someone who was sitting on the sideline, yes, there may be another dip. If we have another dip, that will create a W formation, and we're going to take off to the moon, or we may just take off by next month, things are going to be looking very good. So I always tell people, don't try to time the market. I'm not smart enough to pick the bottom. I know we're going to go back up. So if we go back up, and if you just bought an index fund, that's 20%. People will look at a 20% return on investment and say, man, Prince, that's nothing. You know, I want 100%. I want life-changing decisions. But the thing about it is, where else can I go to get 20%? It's only three places I can go. There are two places I can go, which pretty much is stocks, real estate, or business, right? If you got $500, where else can you go to potentially get a 20% return without doing anything? Hello, as Damien says, more unemployed people than the Great Depression. He said the greatest economy ever, you know, WTF. But anyway, yeah, you're right. You know, we have a lot of unemployed people. And the thing about it, too, we got to look at it is, let's not look at the number of people employed. Let's look at the percentage, right? Because now we have more people than we had back then. Plus, we have more jobs than we had back then, too. So let's look at percentage. James Bond says, there's another real estate bubble. I won't say it's a bubble, but I just definitely think it's time for it to cool off. You know, money is getting tight to borrow. If you're a real estate developer, now they're requiring you got to have a higher credit score. You know, they're worried about people defaulting. You're seeing all these people getting laid off, unemployment, and you're seeing the mortgage industry telling you how many people are calling in with forbearances, how many people call in to delay their, right? Hello, as Damon said, tighten up lending automatically is going to tank housing. Places in New York City and San Francisco overvalued straight up. Let's let it crash. I hope it crashes here in Denver. You know, I hope it crashes here in Denver. Yes, cash on hand, waiting for opportunity. Nice. Michael, what's up? He said, what's up, Prince? I hope you and yours are doing well. Michael, what's going on, man? You doing all right? Hope you're doing pretty good out there in Toronto. I may add in where y'all can call in and talk to me. You know, I may do that. Oh, that's my dog right there, Randy. He said, What's going on? What's going on, Randy? Christopher Johnson says, Prince, what's up? Love watching you grow and love the education you bring to the table. I appreciate that, Johnson, man. Glad to see you doing pretty good. One of my Navy buddies out there, looking good. I see your picture there on the aircraft carrier. Kevin said, May 8th is unemployment report. Yes, the first Friday of May, May 8th. I wasn't sure the date, but I know it's the first Friday in May. That's when we get our unemployment numbers, right? We're going to get a jobs report every Thursday. This Thursday, we'll get another jobs report to see how many people file for unemployment insurance, right? We're going to see where that's going to go. You know, where your mama stay at? Okay. He said, I don't think you're right about those CDOs. CDOs is just something, someone buying aggregated debt. Yes, that's what I was saying, right? About the CDOs, collateralized debt obligations, the instruments of somebody else purchasing debt. Did I misunderstand on that? That they were created for people to, John Pauls and those guys use those things to bet against the real estate market? Kevin says Airbnb will drive the real estate down, I would think. Yes, because it's how a lot of people got leveraged into those houses or whatnot. All right, here we go. Ghost Hunter says, I was thinking of dumping my stocks in because tangible real estate seems safe. I won't say right now. I'll wait on that. If you're looking to dump your stocks and to jump into real estate, it's not looking too promising, especially if this goes longer. You know, if we get this thing turned around, everybody's economy is back and open by May, unemployment starts to drop back down, maybe, but not right now. I can't see it. Linda says, by investing in strong mortgage companies, i.e. JP Morgan Chase. Yes, I definitely, JP Morgan Chase, Ms. Linda, is definitely undervalued, right? JP Morgan Chase is like one of the strongest financial companies that we have, along with Berkshire Hathaway. Those companies are down. You invest into those companies, and if they go back to where they were, I want to say JP Morgan, if I'm not mistaken, was close to $200, right? Not $200, $200, $300 or something like that. And just by investing into those right now, you know, JP Morgan's like $99 right now. I mean, it's almost $100 right now. And just by a simple investment in them, you're going to collect a dividend. They return back to where they were. You're going to make 20-30% anyway. Now, here's a, you know what? I'm going to give you something deeper than Miss Linda. Even if you brought a covered call, you know, the idea of buying a covered call, I get into a covered call even. So, all right, so let's get in some ways you can profit. I don't want to jump off into a tangent. He says he's interested. Let's jump off in some ways you can profit from this, right? Here we go. Inverted ETF, DRV. As the real estate market goes down, DRV goes up three times. This is a leveraged ETF, extremely risky. Why is it risky? Because if the real estate market doesn't go down and continues to go up, this would lose value drastically, right? But as the real estate market continues to go up, what's going to end up happening is, well, as the real estate market continues to go up, I mean, let's say if the bubble bursts or whatever, people are unemployed, forbearances, and say forbearances is the first step. That's like deferring your payments. The next step is becoming defaulting and foreclosures. If we start seeing foreclosures and defaulting, real estate prices are going to drop, and the industry and the sector is going to go down. The inverted ETF DRX, DRV, Delta Romeo Victor, as the real estate market goes down and the sector goes down, this goes up in value. There are plenty of other ones out there, but this is just one I'm giving you, right? DRV. So here we go. Free to freedom to trade. He says, hi, everyone, UK investor. Okay, we got somebody tuning in from the UK. Kevin said, REK. Yes, that's another one. REK is a one-time inverse. DRV is three times. So if the real estate market crashes, DRV is going to be more, or should be more profitable than REK. REK is another inverted ETF, something that I spoke about on the last, probably a couple episodes ago last week. That's one way. That was 1%. Every time the real estate went down, this did it twice. The one I just showed you, DRV, that goes down three times as much. So if the market goes down, it's really going to crash, right? I mean, this is really going to go up. So this is a way to profit from a sector going down. Sorry about that, guys and girls. Eric Joseph said, thanks for the great info. What made you pick the various pieces of land? What did you look for? Let me be honest with you. When I went and got the pieces of land, last year I wanted to buy a house, but the market still was going up, and I was trying to wait on the market to take a downturn because I felt it was a little too hot. But I told myself, I said, hey, if I don't buy a house, I'm just buy some pieces of land or whatever. And when I got these particular pieces of land, It wasn't a strategic move like, oh, this place is going to be developed, this place is going to be this or whatnot. It was just some, you know, it was my son's birthday, Wesley's birthday. So I got a piece of land for him. Then I got another piece of land for myself. Then my company itself purchased a piece of land as well. So that's all it really was. You know, it wasn't, I think some people are land developers. Like, hey, it's a wide open space. This place is going to be developed. It's going to be worth something. Or there's some oil on there or whatnot. This land was way out in the middle of nowhere, Colorado. It was just cheap. I just wanted to add it to my portfolio. I wanted some form of real estate, right? That was my take, Eric. Here go, Rand. Is it safe to watch this live without a mask? Leave it to Randall. Is it safe to watch this live without a mask? Hey, we're practicing social distancing over here. Linda said, I refinanced with them and they rock. Oh, nice. 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 That was going to be my next one. But let's get back into it. She said, Linda said, okay, going to do it. Thanks. All right. So let's jump back into the next another way that you can do. Right. Here's another way. This one's a little bit more riskier. Why is this one? This is a put option on XLRE. XLRE is the real estate sector, the whole real estate sector, right? You can buy a put option. A put option is the right to be able to sell something for a particular price in the future. So a put option is, if you did a naked put option, it means that you went out and brought a contract. That's meaning you have to have a date. That's the one thing that makes this one more risky, because you have to have a date. You can buy a contract that says XLRE. I think the price is around about $33. You said, give me the right to be able to sell XRE for $50 in the future, or not $50, but let's say $20 in the future, or whatever. So as the price drops, if the price drops in XLRE before your expiration date, this will make your contract profitable, right? So this one is a little bit more riskier than an inverted ETF, because this one you have to pick a date. Right. So you may have to pick one in May. Are you going to pick June? Are you going to pick October? And if you're wrong, your contract can expire worthless. You have to have an expiration date on your contract. So, you know, versus, hey, if I buy a leveraged bullish ETF on the S&P 500, I could just hold it. You could be wrong for 3, 4, 5 months or a year and still hold it and watch it rebound. Versus if you buy a put option on anything, a put option in general, it comes with an expiration date. And let's say if you buy a put option to expire in March 6th, March 8th, right? Right when unemployment numbers come out. Let's say the real estate market don't crash until August. So you pretty much just lost your money in that particular put option. That's why that one is more risky, because you have to have a date. Versus the first one doesn't have a date. If I'm not mistaken, a lot of those pay dividends. The inverted ETFs pay dividends. The put options, there are no dividends. And it's a little bit more risky, because you have to have your time right. Right? But it's way more profitable too. But that's another way you can benefit from it. Let's grab some more questions, some more comments. That loops my spot. I'll give you 1 second. I'm trying to find my, okay. Okay, it's Damon said, first time home buyers average down payment is less than 10%. 20% is going to price a lot of people out of the market. Hey, by the way, Prince, I can tell by the accent that you're from Atlanta. I'm not from Atlanta. I'm from Georgia. I'm from a small town, Waynesboro, Georgia, So anyway, what he's saying that, hey, look, people have to put out 10%. You know, 10% down is what you used to have to put up. Now companies are raising that to 20%. You have to put down 20% and have a 700 and plus credit score for you to be able to get a house as a first time buyer, right? And what he's saying is that that's going to take a lot of people out of the market. That's going to take the demand down. That means that the demand for buying a new house, a lot of people are going to be outside of that market. And that's exactly what JP Morgan wants. They don't want risky loans. They don't want to just be giving out loans to anybody, acting irresponsible like they did in 2008, giving out loans to anybody, and then that person defaults a year or two down the line, and they end up holding the bag. That's what they're trying to avoid, right? Ghost Hunter said, I was just agreeing with you about holding on to rentals because the ticker for Cousins. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You know, if you got a rental property, you don't care if you got a rental property, unless the people that you're renting to lose their job. If you guys and girls coming in, hit the thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button if you like the content. I see we got over 40 people in the building currently, and we only got six comments. Six thumbs up if you're in the building. So if you like it, give me the thumbs up. If you hate it, give me a thumbs up anyway. Carl, he said, let's go with some JP Morgan, Goldman Sachs, and BAC. If you guys saw my show on Friday, you know, I'm a big component of BAC because I look at the stimulus package, and I look at these stimulus packages that BAC, which is Bank of America, is going to profit. Bank of America is like $24 right now, right? And today what I just did, I just brought a cover call. I wrote a buy option on Bank of America. So if Bank of America is not over $25 by the end of the week, I think I profit off of one contract $50. So I have 100 shares of Bank of America. And with those 100 shares of Bank of America, I get to collect money off of if the company, if the stock doesn't go over $25 by the end of the week. If the stock does go over $25 by the end of the week, I get to keep, you know, I already took on a premium, but I got to sell my stocks for $25, which is not a bad deal anyway. That's called a buy right option, ladies and gentlemen. Cover call. James Bond, unemployment is up. Less cash is changing hand. Real estate is tanking, but the Dow Jones, NASDAQ are not drastically falling. It doesn't make sense. What are we missing? James Bond, this is what I think we're missing. Who controls the market are the big investors, right? People who have hedge funds, investment managers, who are moving billions of dollars a day in and out of the market. Right now, if you was an investor, James Bond, and your job was to make a return on the investment, and you're looking at all the asset classes, you're looking at real estate, you're looking at stocks, savings, bonds, credit, you know, savings, bonds, mutual funds, whatever the case may be that you're looking at to make a return for your investors, right now, the most attractive thing are stocks, right? That's the most attractive thing. The reason why also stocks have already priced in April's losses. You know, everybody's expecting April's losses to be here. But if we go beyond that and we go into May and June, I think we can see another dip. But right now, the big managers, they're trying to make money. They're looking at this as an opportune time to buy. They can't put their money in bonds. They can't put it in CDs. They can't put it in savings because the interest rates are at an all-time low. Remember, the Fed chair, Jerome Powell, just dropped interest rates to an all-time low. So I can't put the money in CDs or whatever, right? Now, one of the equities look more enticing since the equities have had the fastest. 2020 crash has been the fastest drop in stocks that we've ever seen. Pretty close. Because I know 87 did it in one day. But due to circuit breakers, we didn't break 1987 crash record. So that's why I see a lot of money flowing into the market due to low interest rates everywhere else. So these fund managers, I think that's what's propping it up, right? Then plus people are expecting losses in April, but they're looking at those stimulus packages. People are moving money in. The government is pumping money into the market. Hedge funds are pumping money into the market. People are already expecting April's losses. If we go past that, that's when I can see red light in the city. All right. I can't say his last name. STS1 Jureski. Yeah, I know who you are, but Point Loma. I remember you exactly. STS1 Jureski, by the way. How do you feel about airlines? For example, American Airlines, who once dropped below $1 in 2010, raised to $35, now at $11. Yes. Right now, we're waiting on the first flow. I was really looking for Delta Airlines. That was supposed to come out on Thursday. They haven't put the report out on Thursday, haven't put it out on Friday. I definitely think the airline industry, I wouldn't go with American Airlines because they always have had problems. The top two cash heavy airline companies who look like they're going to make it through this is Delta and Southwest Airlines. So what I'm looking at is I definitely think they're a good investment. To go into the future. Delta pays a dividend, so I can collect the dividend along the way as I wait. And then I got to look at to see what type of stimulus package they're going to get. So if you want to be very risky, you're going to pick a company like Delta. You want to ease up your risk, get an ETF called JETS, J-E-T-S. It's about $12, $13, somewhere between $11 to $12 right now. And what that's going to do, that's going to get you the airline sector. If you want to be less risky, you go with XTN, which is X-Ray Tanger November, which is the transportation sector. So instead of picking, if you just pick Delta, that's very risky. But if you pick JETS, J-E-T-S, that's even less riskier, right? Because you're going to get all the airline stocks at one time. You're going to get the tracker that tracks all of them. Your risk won't be as high. I mean, your risk won't be as high, but your reward won't be as either. Or you can go higher and get XTN. If you get XTN, that's the transportation sector, which is going to throw in railroads, Uber, Lyft, all of the good stuff. I'm very intrigued to see how Lyft did. Not Uber and Lyft. I want to see how they did during this time frame too. He said, hello, Dan said, DRV goes up crazy in the bad times. Come on, you know, I always bring the good stuff here, man. I always do my research. I know this. Come on now. Hello, Dan. You should know this by now. Kev, what's going on, Kev, from Facebook there? All right, cool. Marcelo said, could you explain what cash flow is? Greetings from Mexico. Ooh, cash flow. Simple put it, cash flow is the amount of money coming in and out of a company at a given time period. So for prime example, let's say if a company says, Prince, I want to order 300 books. 300 books, if they're paperback, let's say if they cost $20 a piece. 20 times 300, 5,000, right? No, 6,000. Yeah, 6,000. So that's $6,000. I have to go, I need cash flow. I got to go be able to buy these books for $6,000. And then I got to go, by the time I sell them to the company, I'm going to sell them to them for $7,000, right? For me to have a profit. So a company, that's why cash flow is so important, that I need some money to be able to operate. I need cash to be able to do certain things. But the simple way is the inflow. When you look at a cash flow statement, it's just the inflow and outflow of money at a particular time and frame of a company. How much money is coming in, how much money is going out. And then some companies, if they operate in a deficit, that means they have more money going out, more money coming in at one time. So if I don't have $6,000 to be able to go get the books, I can't make the $1,000 profit. That's why I need a positive cash flow. That's why cash flow is important, depending on the industry. Hello, Damon says, also remember everyone that is that's purchasing power is unlimited goal. If they just print money and real and stock go up, but the paper price can't do anything like Venezuela. Yeah, as they print more money, gold will go up. Ruby says, yes, put the thumbs up. I'm number three. Yes, definitely. Hit the thumbs up button or whatnot. Definitely appreciate that. I heard that it does something with the algorithms. I heard it was pretty good. All right, so here we go. One more before I get into that one, JR. We're gonna go into the last one. This was hit on by I just saw a comment earlier. Now, refinance. If you already own a house, if you already own a home, you can refinance for a lower rate probably in the marketplace. The only difficult thing with this right now is becoming very hard to refinance because everybody is trying to do it. But refinancing is a way to take advantage of low interest rates. So right now, interest rates are very low. If you got good credit, if you got all of the good stuff going in line, you could potentially refinance to benefit from the down end of the market coming up, right? I mean, from the low interest rates. The interest rates are so low by Jerome Powell is a way to stimulate the economy. You can take advantage of that. This might save you $100, $50, $300 a month off of your mortgage, depending on your situation, depending on what your interest rate is, and depending on what your new interest rate is. If you don't think that's anything, you can send that 3% my way, and I definitely appreciate it. But that's another way to take advantage is by refinancing a current mortgage. Another way to take care of the benefit from the downturn. JR said, Netflix price is looking good and they're only going up. People are staying home on my portfolio. Okay, so he's saying Netflix is looking pretty good. Yeah, Netflix, Facebook, YouTube, which is Google, all those things, I'm pretty sure they've seen a massive increase in activity. Facebook and YouTube, Instagram, anybody that's anything digital, they're seeing massive increases, which is a good thing. Joyce says, is Wells Fargo good? Have you seen Dirty Money episode one? I would choose Bank of America or JP Morgan over Wells Fargo. Their history is a little shaky with all those fake account situation. Just a PR nightmare. Not for me. Philip, what's going on, Philip? He says, hi. What's going on, Philip? From Italy. Okay, Philip is out in Italy, man. We got all over the world today. Italy, the UK. Good job. Proud Dad said, what's up, Prince? Looks like I'm late to the party. The grass is greener here, getting greener here in Georgia. Nice. It's snowing here in Denver, Colorado. But the thing about it, we was talking about earlier, Proud Dad, just in case you missed it, we went over the latest reports from the Mortgage Bankers Association, which pretty much stated that credit was tightening. On Thursday, they put out a press report saying credit was tightening, meaning that they was people was lending out less money. Then J.P. Morgan came out today, Saturday, J.P. Morgan came out and said, hey, you got to have a 700 credit score and you got to have 20% down to even buy a house. And they're the world's largest lender. Ask yourself, why do they want a 700 credit score now? Why do they want 20% now? Because, you know, it's a fear of people going into forbearances and people going into default. So to lessen that, because and also we saw the Mortgage Bankers Association, a lot of people put in for forbearances, right? So a lot of people trying to defer their mortgage payments, all of the good stuff to be able to get by. Harlem Financials, have you ever heard of Kathy Wood from the ARK Investment take on Tesla? No, I haven't. I don't know who that is. I'm not familiar with her. Oh, she already asked that at Wells Fargo. Okay. He said, I like that gigantic investor show mug. Your wife has a great taste. Yeah, my wife got me this cup a long time ago, and I had just found it. I used to, you know, y'all used to see me come on the show. I used to drink out of cups and, you know, whatever. Then, you know, I remember she brought me this gigantic mug. So I got another one, too, that says the Prince of Investing Show. So I never really used them either. But now I am. Philip says, please, what kind of business could you advise someone to do right now? I mean, business. Ooh. Philip, just an online business. What type of online business? I would say if you're an e-commerce person, you can do, you know, you can sell stuff online. You can try to get into the social media game. You know, if you already have a social media following for something particular, take your hustle online. Let's take me. I used to do this show. I used to drive all the way downtown Denver, like you see in the background back there. Used to be that building right there. I used to drive all the way to that building. Right. But I used to shoot a show downtown, but now, you know, I'm home and I get to shoot the show home and get the even a better effect of interacting with you guys and girls live. So I would say utilizing your social media. I'm trying to think, what is a good business, an online business? Ooh, I haven't, that's one kind of caught me off guard. I got to think about that, Philip. But it depends what you're into, Philip. What do you like? What your style is or whatever? Are you a comedian? Do you tell jokes? Do you entertain? Do you educate? If you educate, maybe you can take education online. Maybe teach education online. Maybe if you entertain, maybe you can entertain people online with jokes or whatever. I don't have any jokes. I ain't no funny guy, you know, or whatever. So, but whatever your skill is, I had to sit down and ask you, like, you know, what are you really into? Then try to cater it into that. Because when you try to just jump into something just because it makes money and it gets tough, you're gonna put it down, I guarantee you. And now time 10 is going to be tough. More pain to come. Coronavirus was the pin to the gigantic debt bubble. Artificial interest rates. Yeah, I think we got some more to come, right? How can I earn money from a Facebook page online? Yes, you can earn money if you have a Facebook is a little bit harder to monetize. You got to have like 10,000 followers and so many viewership on every video. You can monetize your Facebook page. You can also monetize your YouTube channel. But you got to have a nice site. Like YouTube, got to have 1,000 subscribers or whatnot. So it's a little bit, or unless you sell stuff online, you can use Facebook Marketplace. Maybe you can sell some stuff that you always want to sell, some stuff in your garage that still has good value. Put it up on Facebook Marketplace. Sell some stuff on eBay, right? Maybe you start at Amazon or whatever the case may be. So I would say e-commerce is probably the thing I can think of. So dollar may go down. If the dollar goes down, the gold is going to go up, right? Okay. He said, how many ads do I need to have now? Granted, I'm not an e-commerce person, Philip, but if that's something you're into, if you have a product you want to sell, then you can run an ad on Facebook for $5. You can run Facebook ads or you can hire somebody to run the ads for you. If you have a product that you're looking to sell. But that's good you're thinking that way. In Italy, you're kind of thinking like, man, you know what? I'm at home. I'm online. How can I make some money online, right? But that's cool. You know, that's cool, good way to do it. But look around your place and to see what you can sell around your house. Maybe you can do it, whatnot. If you already, I don't know your social media. Do you have a following already? So, well, let's see. Max B, there you go. That's my guy right there. I ain't New Orleans. He says, Prince, what do you think of what do you think about Take Two and EA since everyone is at home gaming? Oh yeah, Take Two. I forgot. Take Two is the company that makes World of Warcraft, I think, or something like that. EA Sports. I know people are using it more, but are they spending more money? Gaming companies. If I was to play with them, I would go with a call option. Depending on when the earnings report was, I maybe do a call option on them. That's about it. Proud Dad, he said, I don't understand Tesla is going up like crazy. Nothing is driving this stock. I brought Tesla after the last earnings report. I forgot what was on the earnings report, but I brought Tesla after the last earnings report. It's in one of the portfolios I manage. It went up to like 900. I mean, it just went crazy. And I was like, whoa, this thing is going to cross $1,000. Then it dipped back down to like 800 or something like that. Then I just sold it. Then it came down to 600. I brought it again. That's when the Corona came, and it went all the way down to like $200. I thought I was going to get to 100. But then now it's just, you know, one day I just looked into the market, you know. But it's just hype, man. It's just a hype. Funds, he's raising money. You got to look at it. I mean, you know, I'm going to show y'all something. Let me give y'all a little something here. It's something I keep telling y'all about this, but y'all don't want to listen, so I'm going to have to show it to you. What drives stocks? Who is driving the stocks? What is driving the stock? What's driving the market? And we're going to talk about just that, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all give me 1 second. Here we go. Wow. Tesla went up 13% today. Okay, cool. I see why everybody's talking about it, but we're going to take a look at something here. Let's go to ownership. All right. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, this is Tesla's at $650, up 13% today. Right here, you're going to see right here the holdings. The total number of shares holds 137 million, right? And they're telling you right here, 49% of these shares are held by investment managers, right? 20% is held by strategic entities, right? And it's telling you only 27% of the shares are held by non-institutional investors. If 21% is held by non-institutional investors, what do you think the other 70% is? 73%? The other 72-73%, what I'm telling you guys and girls, is held by, look at these institutional investors. Banks, insurance companies, hedge funds, private equity hold majority of Tesla shares. Let's go on down here. Let's look at it. Right here. Who holds majority of Tesla shares? BlackRock, Capital, Fidelity, right? Radisson Technology, Vanguard, Elon Musk. These are the people that move the stock, right? It has a very low turnover rate, very low. You can see right here, turnover rate. People don't buy and sell it like that, right? So what you're looking at is what's making the stock move, majority is broker firms. Brokerage firms, investment managers. Those are the ones who's moving the money, not everyday people going to go buy the stock, right? Here we go. Percentage shares owned is the percentage of common stock held on all the reporting institutions and insiders listed in the mutual funds, 13F, 10K filings, proxy filings. It is calculated the total market. So they're telling you right here, 72%, when it says percentage shares owned, 72% of Tesla is owned by the big boys, the institutions, right? 72% is owned by the big boys. It's not what I'm saying. This is Tesla ownership. The other 27% is owned by regular everyday people, all of the good stuff like that. Oh, here we go. Trying to get it to say non. It won't show non-institutional investors. But anyway, 72% of this is owned by the big boys that I just showed you guys and girls by, right? So those are the people that are moving the stock. Say, I don't know what he just said. Okay. If your mortgage interest rates is decently low, how much of a point difference is it going to make to refinance? It depends on your situation. It depends on what was your percentage before and what institutions are willing to give you now. If you got good credit and or whatnot, what are they willing to give you now? It depends. Oh, Philip said he's a pastor. Well, if you're a pastor, go online. You know, do your services online, things like that. That's a great way. You know, a lot of churches are streaming online. They have their congregation donate to them, contribute to them online or whatnot. So that's a good way too. Oh, yeah, that's another one. James Bond just said affiliate marketing is a great online business. Yes, selling other people's product and getting a piece of it. That's a great online business as well. You see a hot product that people want and like, put your name on it, push it, sell it, and you better make a little profit off of somebody else's work. Okay, he says, I was in Denver and I stayed in Centennial for 2 months. 2 months ago, there's a lot of undeveloped land in Colorado, and the tech has migrated from here in the Bay to over there. Ooh, that's a good one, right? There is a lot of undeveloped land in Denver. So that's why I was able to grab some land. You know, I haven't went crazy on it, but I just got a couple pieces of land. But yeah, tech is coming to Denver too, because it's cheaper. It's cheaper than the Bay. The Bay is crazy, you know, big time. What do you think about silver? I'm more of a gold person if I go into commodities, but they go hand in hand. It's just that when I see the commodity market go up, I see gold go up more than silver. But even though silver has a greater chance of going up, that's just the way I look at it. That's Miss Cole Williams. Okay, Miss Kathy Williams is a billion-dollar hedge fund manager, and according to her prediction, analyst Tesla will be up to $7,000 within the next 5 years. So you just answered your own question right there. Everybody, Proud Dad asked me, Prince, what's making this stock go up? Do you look at somebody like Kathy Woods, who's a hedge fund manager of a billion-dollar hedge fund? She's obviously bullish on Tesla, so she's putting her funds into Tesla. I just told you guys and girls who was controlling the market, who was controlling Tesla. Didn't that just tie into each other? So I just said, who's making the stocks go up? It's the insiders. It's not the insiders, the institutions. Gary says, thoughts on, oh man, that's the cookie company, right? Gary TV, TH. That's the cookie company. Why everybody's on this cookie company? What did this cookie company do? This is like the second time I've seen somebody ask about this cookie company. Am I missing out on something? We looked it up, and I don't know why everybody's crazy about this cookie company. Right? Phyllis says, I have over 125 followers, 109 likes, and I've reached over 30,000 engagement on Facebook. Ooh. See, Facebook ads as a preacher. There you go, right there. You know, do you have a product? If you don't have a product, create one, or affiliate market somebody else's product. That could be a great business. Healthy Thought says, what do you think of the future of Bitcoin? Anybody that I know, it's two simple questions I ask about Bitcoin. It's not Bitcoin, but the cryptocurrency industry. There are 1,000 cryptocurrencies out there. I don't know which one to pick. I don't know which one is going to be good. I don't know how to pick the right one. Second thing is, how does one have value over another one if anybody technically can create it? If a regular person, if I had a dollar machine where I could create dollars, and if you had a dollar machine that you can create dollars, the value of the dollar would drop dramatically. The third question is, what if the United States government created their own digital dollar? What they have been talking about. If the government created their own digital dollar, what is that going to do to the value of Ethereum and all these other cryptocurrencies? Because they create a digital dollar, guess what I'm going to use? I'm probably going to use a digital dollar. It's probably going to be the most accepted, right? So that's my thing. Then on top of that, looking at the cryptocurrency industry, the first thing is it's thousands of them. How did I know which one to pick? Who's better than the other one, right? The thing is, too, what if the government creates their own? And then how does it have value if somebody can go home and create one? That's why I don't deal with it. So it's a no-go for me. It's like a lottery ticket. It's in the same category as a lottery ticket, in my opinion. The only way I can see you getting into it is through the stock symbol GBTC. That's like a mutual fund for all the cryptocurrencies, but that's about it. And I always wonder how cryptocurrency will act during the next market crash. And it has been lackluster since then. And most people are buying it not to use it. They're just buying it just, you know, it's almost like gambling. Hey, I'm going to buy it. Hopefully the next person next to me buy it. So it's not my thing. I'm not really the Bitcoin person. Just those simple questions, nobody seen it can ask for me. All right. Kevin said better to get 100 shares of Bank of America at possibly $25 or 25 shares of J.P. Morgan. If I had to tie the two together, J.P. Morgan, easy. J.P. Morgan is definitely bigger and more sturdier than Bank of America. Better financial quality, easy. And I think, and both of them give you dividends. J.H.T.H. says, yes, nice dividends. I forgot which one he was talking about. I think he's talking about Bank of America. Max B says, maybe sales might be up. Everyone is buying these days. Also, food stamps are out. He said, maybe sales might be up. Everyone is buying these days. LLJ said BlackRock is in everything. Yes, BlackRock, they own the military's 401k. BlackRock, if I'm not mistaken, is the largest hedge fund in the world. And I got to read that book called King Capital, too. I'll give me 1 second. Let me look up this next company. Okay, thanks. So anytime, Philip, anytime. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, what are your thoughts on H? Let me look up HSY. Give me 1 second. All righty. Who in here watched Valuetainment in a YouTube channel with Patrick Day? Who watches Valuetainment? Who's heard of Valuetainment YouTube channel? It's the largest entrepreneurship channel. Hosted by Patrick David. Who knows Patrick David from Valuetainment? All right, let's look at this H. I just got an email. If you do know who they are, I just got an email. They're looking to come onto the show on May 4th. Valuetainment, Patrick David, May 4th, coming onto the show. That'll be cool. Take a quick look at HS. Oh, Hershey's. Oh, my goodness. Hershey's. I'm surprised I didn't know off the top of my head. Hershey's is a consumer staple, Max B. I put Hershey's right there with Coca-Cola. Ooh, Raytheon or Boeing? I would say Boeing. Boeing, Heirloom Financials. Kendrick Taylor, Prince, what do you think about the telehealth companies? I feel this is early considered as an investment, but I see Athean about to provide the same service. I'm not smart enough to know about them right now. I know it's pretty hot right now, obviously for obvious reasons, but yeah, that's about it. I don't really like them too funny. Well, I won't say I don't like them. I just don't know enough about them. I don't know that industry well enough to speak about it. I'm not going to tell you anything. Oh, he said, I think I have an idea now. I'm going to go selling my books, like Bibles and other inspirational books. Yes, you can take books off of Amazon, like say books that you like, and you can affiliate market those books. Let's say, for prime example, you're like, man, I think Prince Dykes and his books are cool, and I think it'd be great for my audience. So you take whatever products off of Amazon. It could be anybody. A Warren Buffett book, a Ray Dalio book, or a 48 Laws of Power, a biblical book or whatever, and you can sell it. T.D. Jakes book or whatever, his life story, and you can sell it to your audience, and you can get a piece of that by affiliate marketing. So, but anyway, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that's going to conclude today's show. I thank y'all for tuning in. Hopefully y'all got something out of it. You know, inverse ETFs, put options on the XLRE. Oil and energy is looking pretty good if you're interested into that. You know, my latest move was cover calls on Bank of America. If Bank of America doesn't go over $25 a day, then, you know, I make $50 per contract and I get to keep the shares. If it does, then I lose my shares, but I get to sell them at a higher price than what I paid for them. So hopefully y'all took some out of today's show. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. And I thank y'all for tuning in. For everybody out there, if you want to support me, go out and check out my book series, Wesley Learns. Wesley Learns About Credit. Wesley Learns About Insurance. Wesley Learns About Wesley Learns to Invest. All those books are available pretty much anywhere online that you can buy a book. They're available ebook, audio book, paperback, hardcover, all of the good stuff. So if you think I'm putting out great stuff and you want to support it, that's your way to support. Thank you for tuning in. Hit that share button. Hit the like button. Until the next video, podcast, cartoon, or whatever else crazy you see me do around the globe. Peace. Be safe. I'm out. Thank you.